Well, Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you could be with us tonight here at Shalom Messianic Congregation. A congregation that I and the late Saul Levitt started back in September of 1999. And folks, just wanted to let you know, and I'm going to just speak from the heart, and I'll be real long, but we are now 2 days away from the 50th Gospel Outreach in Israel. We've come so close now. This is the closest we've been since the 2.5 year exile due to COVID-19, and it has been an exile. You can't hear it?
Okay, now
can you hear it? Okay, good. We're good on the sound. And it's really been like 20 years. And this is the heart center of your ministry. And it's shut down for 2.5 years. It'll test your faith. Not like, oh, I'm going to turn my back on God. Not that. I'm going to test it. But wonder if you'll ever go back. And so we don't assume anything. We're not grounded tomorrow. James, book of James reminds us not to say, I'm going to go over here and do such and such tomorrow. But you preface that with, if the Lord wills it. So, August Rosado and I are in the process of jumping through the preconditioned hoops to get to Israel. And today we did our PCR test, which is a test to show whether you have COVID or not. And of course, you know that test comes back positive. This thing comes to a grinding halt. But I'm convinced that the Lord hasn't brought us this far for that to happen. I don't believe he plays cat and mouse games with the chosen people in their land or with us and our calling, isn't it? So, needless to say, we want you to pray. You good folks in here who've supported us for years, and you people out there in the internet universe, pray that our tests will come back, and they should be back tomorrow or the next day, that both tests for August and I will be negative. Amen? And then tomorrow, 48 hours before the flight, we have to fill out an entry form. And then after that, it's not over yet. And then after that, when we land at Ben Gurion, and everyone's, you've been to Israel, right? And, you know, Ben Gurion's a beautiful airport. But when you land in Ben Gurion, then you have to take another PCR test. Make sure you're negative. Otherwise, they hold you up for 5 days at the hotel. You can't do 5 days at the hotel. So I would ask you, all of you, pray that every mountain will be moved, every crooked path made straight, every rough place made smooth when it comes to getting back to Eretz Israel. This will be our 50th trip, and number 5050 is a significant number, as you know, in the scriptures. It's the year of Jubilee, when slaves are freed, debts are canceled, and so this will be the 50th Gospel Outreach that we've done and have been doing this ministry now for 21 years. 50th Gospel Outreach. We've had a few Jewish believers as a result of these outreaches, but it's largely sowing seed, old water in the sea. It's not so much reaping yet, but I believe that, as I told August, one of the reasons why, and I don't think this is arrogant at all, one of the reasons why God has allowed the Jewish people to return to the land, obviously we fill in time prophecy, to return to their land and partially and in unbelief, so that they could be in a concentrated area, the Holy Land, and from there have the gospel preached to them. Mm-hmm. That's why this ministry, God rose it up, predestined it for the foundation of the world, so that we could go to Israel and hazard our lives for the gospel, so that Jewish people could hear the gospel. Sadly, the church is not doing this. Very few are. You know, I've said before, Israel is the great omission and the great commission. And yet, they're the first nation of people the gospel should be taken to. Romans 1:16, you know that verse. And Jesus set that precedent in Matthew chapters 10 and 15 when he said he was not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel in the Phoenician land. Tenaciously asked that her daughter be healed of the demon spirit. And of course, you know the story. The Lord healed her after she showed a tenacious and doggedly determined faith. And then when the Lord sent out his disciples, remember in Matthew 10, he said, do not go in the way of the Gentile or the Samaritan, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yes, we go to the Jewish people first on this ministry, but do not erroneously think that we don't go to the Gentiles. Oh, we do. We witness to the Arabs over there who are nominal Christians, but not really going to do it. We witness to the Arabs who are Muslim over there, but we first go to the Jewish people. Jesus set that precedent with his ministry, did he not?
Yes.
And then, of course, Paul the Apostle. He was struck down the road to Damascus. What did the risen Savior tell him? You are to take my name among the Gentiles and the Jews. It's kind of reverse, he says. But what did Paul do whenever he went into a city in the Roman Empire?
To the synagogue.
He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I don't have any message tonight, I'm just speaking from the heart. Early on, and I believe it's in here, Messengers of Messiah, chronicling the first 5 years of his ministry. Kevin Parker, who was my first co-laborer in this ministry, we did go into the synagogue of King David in Jerusalem, where the tomb of David stands. And to two Jewish individuals in there, we preached, as Peter did in Acts 2, how that tomb of David means David is with us today, lying in repose, dead. And yet he spoke of his descendant, who would rise from the dead and be Lord and Messiah, Psalm 16. And he preached from that psalm to them about how that Yeshua is the Messiah. God has given proof and assurance of this by raising him from the dead. They ended up accepting Hebrew Bibles with New Testaments in them and Messianic Gospel tracts. So we are trying to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and the apostles and taking this gospel to the chief priests. And I cannot believe God would allow an irritating, bureaucratic, red tape PCR test to stop us. I just can't believe that. Nevertheless, we don't assume anything. The Lord wills. We're going back Sunday. So pray that these tests will be passed. This PCR test will be registered a big N as a negative. Mm-hmm. And then from there, everything else will fall into place. Honestly, I don't know what. Part of me is, we've been canceled so many times in the last 2.5 years. Part of me is like Doubting Thomas. I'll really believe it's happened when I go through the customs. Part of me, that's still there. And hopefully you can understand me. So, when we get through customs, it's going to be pretty moving. So, don't be August 9. We'll probably have to sit and just take it in. Because I'll admit to you, I thought I'd never get back there. Going through this nightmare. And now we're 2 days out. Jesus made an interesting prophecy about Jewish evangelism is tied into end time Bible prophecy. A lot of Christians don't realize that. And I can think of one particular chapter and verse, which I wrote here in Messengers of Messiah. I have that book. And it's under seven reasons from Scripture why the gospel must go to the Jewish people. And one particular obscure and often ignored passage that ties in Jewish evangelism with end-time Bible prophecy, specifically and directly to the second coming, is Matthew 10:23. And Jesus said in this chapter and verse, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the cities of Israel until the Son of Man returns." Or like what my study Bible says here concerning this. These verses clearly have an eschatological significance. Eschatology is dealing with end times. So it's saying here this verse clearly has a significance to end time prophecy that goes beyond the disciples' immediate mission. Because when Jesus said this, the immediate context of Matthew 10 is Jesus is sending out the 12 to announce the kingdom to Israel. Because the kingdom was the messianic kingdom, which will come and last for 1,000 years, Revelation 20, 2 through 9. Israel was offered that at the first coming of Jesus. He offered it to them, and then here in Matthew 10, he sends out his 12 apostles to offer them the messianic kingdom, and he gives them the power to perform the signs of the kingdom, healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, all signs of the messianic kingdom. And so Jesus gives this prophecy in Matthew 10:23 about Jewish evangelism in Israel and how the cities of Israel will not have been gone through with the gospel before he returns. Well, obviously he's not talking about the first coming, because we know what happened. The nation of Israel was scattered and the temple was destroyed and the Romans laid waste as judgment sat upon the Jewish nation for the rejection and murder of their own son. Matthew 23 tells us that. But yet Jesus makes this prophecy. And in this prophecy, Jesus predicted that the evangelization of the cities of Israel will not be complete before he returns. This prophecy, I believe, will be fulfilled during the time of the tribulation period, when Jewish Christians are persecuted for their gospel witness in Israel. Now here's the catch. For nearly 2,000 years of the present church age, starting with Pentecost, ending with the rapture, for nearly 2,000 years of the present church age, the gospel was not being preached to the Jews in Israel. Why? Because they were scattered throughout the nations of the world since AD 70. But all that changed in 1948, when Israel became a nation again and Jews returned en masse to their ancient homeland. The messianic movement in Israel is growing now. When we first started doing these gospel outreach in Israel in 2001, there was only 5,000 Jewish believers. That number now has swelled, and now is nearly 30,000 growing. So the messianic movement in Israel is growing, and now for the first time since the days of Jesus and the apostles, evangelism and gospel preaching to the Jews is happening in the land again. Well, that must mean Matthew 10:23 is now suddenly and largely significant. The fact that Jewish evangelism is happening again in the land for the first time in 2,000 years and will not be finished before the second coming must mean the Lord's return is very soon. Amen? Not only do we have a prophecy of this kind found in the New Testament, but also one of similar fashion in the Old Testament. And I will go there now. Isaiah 62, verses 10 and 12. Isaiah 62, verses 10 through 12. I think that's what I said. So reading the prophet says this, Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. That word salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua.
That's right.
So you could read it, surely Yeshua is coming.
Amen.
Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. I believe that here we have another second coming prophecy. And like Matthew 10:23, note what must take before precipitating the signs of return. It's the command to proclaim salvation. And we have salvation in the gospel. right? In Hebrew, habetzarah. This amazing prophecy in Isaiah 62:10-12 says God will send Gentile believers to Jerusalem, quote, from the ends of the earth, to proclaim to the Jewish inhabitants of Jerusalem that the Savior is coming. Coming to redeem and rescue them. And as I mentioned earlier, the Hebrew word for salvation in Isaiah 62:11 is the same word for the name of Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua or Yeshuah. In the text here, it's Yeshuah, which is Jesus in English. And Jesus' name means the Lord is salvation. Remember Matthew 1:21. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus or Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, God wants these ambassadors who come from the ends of the earth to say to Jerusalem, Yeshua or Jesus is coming. The chapter of Isaiah 62 closes with the prediction that these Gentile ambassadors of Christ will prepare the way for the return of Yeshua the Savior in much the same way Yohanan HaMatzir or John the Baptist prepared Israel for the Messiah's first coming as predicted in Isaiah 40 verse 3. It's much similar language here with Isaiah 40 verse 3 about preparing the way of the Lord. This interpretation is confirmed by the fact that Isaiah 63 opens with the second coming of the Messiah in glory after his way has been prepared by his Gentile ambassadors of chapter 62. Because chapter 63 opens with, who is this who comes from Edom, who had dyed garments from Bozrah, the one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness. Now this is the returning Messiah saying this. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? This is the remnant of Israel asking this to the Messiah at his return. And his answer in verse 3 of Isaiah 63 is, I have trodden the winepress alone and from the peoples. No one was with me. So again, Isaiah chapter 62 closes with God beckoning or calling ambassadors who come from the ends of the earth to proclaim salvation to Israel and particularly those in Jerusalem that the Savior of salvation is coming. And then verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 63 open with the second coming. So you see now that what we're doing ties directly into end-time Bible prophecy concerning the Jewish people as it relates to the second coming. So, again, as I've said before, this ministry is prophetic in a sense. It's preparing the way for the return of the Messiah. And yes, even perhaps the 144,000. Perhaps the 1,600 Bibles we've given out to the Israelites, perhaps when the rapture occurs, a young Jewish male person will remember that we spoke to him about Yeshua's return, and we'll look, see that dusty Bible on the shelf he gave him, dust it off, start reading it, he gets saved. And perhaps he'd be one of the 144,000. Amen? The fact that this ministry and others are, in a sense, preparing the way for the return of Yeshua means prophecy is being fulfilled and Christ's coming is extremely close. Amen?
Yeah.
So, folks, there is a direct tie into Jewish evangelism and end-time Bible prophecy. And that's why the church must be actively involved in it. Many in the body of Christ are not. But for such a time as this, God has raised up this small, insignificant ministry to the eyes of the Christian world and to no disregard for the unbelieving world. God has raised this up so that we can fulfill his word. And again, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Because I'm the least of all the saints. I don't deserve this calling and this conferral of such a holy, sacred, and prophetic task. The Apostle Paul, on a much smaller scale, I'm not trying to compare myself to Paul. Early on in my life, I tried to do much harm to this faith. And tried to destroy the reputation of Jesus. On April 15th, 1984, the Shekinah light of the risen Savior shone in that room. Because I was there, I was at the point of death. I was so desperate that in my insane and irrational atheism, out of that I turned and said, God, if you do this, show me. That light shone. It was the presence of our Savior. And there was such love and forgiveness, all that bitterness and darkness sucked out of me. And in my mind, in my heart, that light identified itself as the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to me, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who exists, the one you blasphemed and persecuted all this time. You know, I'm calling you to serve me and tell my people that I'm coming soon. Well, I'll jump to about almost 25 years later. I'm not good at math. 2001, Kevin Parker and I are in Israel doing an outreach. And that, those words of commission, like a lightning bolt, flashed in my mind. That's what he meant, these people, Israel, tell them these things. And then we put the scriptures together like we've just done now at all makes sense. And fortunately, we have yet to be physically assaulted or persecuted. The Lord delivered me from being arrested twice over there. We have been harassed. We have been violently confronted by evil antichrist organizations like Yad Lachem. But we have, by the grace and power of God and the Spirit of faith. So I just cannot believe that a stupid little PCR test would spoil that now. So one other thing that why we do this, and we do it with indomitable devotion coming from God's Spirit, is because we owe this to the Jewish people. Some of them think that we're committing great harm to them, trying to convert them. Look, we don't convert anybody. We are called by Jesus in the Great Commission to be witnesses of who he is and what he's done. This is what we tell them when falsely accuse us of being missionaries trying to convert us. We say, first of all, you're begging the question, negative narrative that you're imposing on us is false. We are Shalachim, that's Hebrew for sent ones. And we are the Magadim of Messiah. Magadim means Hebrew preachers, proclaimers. We don't have the power to convert. We can't save a person. We can't make them born again. We can't produce the regeneration of the Holy Spirit inside that saves. Only the Holy Spirit, through the power of the spoken word by the gospel, can do that. And that's what we tell them. So that removes their stupid, false, slanderous narrative that they try to impose on people like us. We are called to be witnesses of this Messiah. He has called us to tell you that first because he came from your stock. God gave the world scriptures, and from that, the knowledge of the one true God and the Messiah Jesus through you. That's why he wants us to share this with you first. If you get offended, that's not my problem. I'm going to obey what God has commanded me to do because I love him and I take what he says seriously, and you're not going to stop me or dissuade me short of death. So we do this because we love the Lord Jesus' ethnic brothers and sisters. But we do it also in accordance with what we find in Romans 15:27, where we are told, that you and I, as born again, Bible-believing followers of Yeshua, are indebted to Israel because of the spiritual blessings they have bestowed and brought to the world. And as I just said, those great spiritual blessings that came to the Jewish people are the Bible, the Messiah, and the Judeo-Christian ethic on which the whole of Western civilization was built on. Notice I'm using that passage. Because the West is quickly sliding and eroding into a post-Christian, neo-pagan, godless world. And we would start, we would prove that premise from the highest to the lowest, starting in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The New Testament church is obligated, out of Christ's love, to share the gospel to these ethnic people, the Jews. From my mindset, what greater way to pay off that spiritual debt of gratitude than to share with them the great riches of salvation through Jesus Christ? That's why those of you who support us, you are discharging your debt. Not all of us can go to this group. But when you support, as Paul taught, when you support us, he told the Philippians, when you support us with your funding and your prayers, it's not all about finances, you share in our rewards in this ministry. And so when you and I stand in being the seat of Christ, you're rewarded for work and ministry you've done after salvation. You shall be rewarded along with us for this, helping us in this great task at hand. So, folks, we are, I believe, more closer now to the tribulation than ever before, which must then mean if you hold to a pre-trib rapture, which I believe the Bible conclusively teaches, then the rapture must be that much more close. Of course, the rapture is imminent. It could happen at any moment. But, as an aside to that, but the signs of the Lord, the Lord's return, the Jesus Lord, everywhere. People would just open their eyes in church. And so when you think about it, when you witness to a Jewish person or an Israeli Jew in this late hour, you could very well be planting gospel seed that will save him after the rapture and allow him to become part of the 144,000, or if it's an Israeli woman, to become part of the Jewish remnant that will go through the tribulation. But we want to see them, of course, saved now, so they don't have to wait for the horrid Antichrist to show up. We've had folks in Israel come to salvation. Not a lot, but some. I'll never forget, there was a lady, and I won't say her name, because, believe me, Yeshua is very controversial still in Israel. Just as Simeon the prophet said, he said that when Jesus the Messiah will be the cause of the rising and falling of many in Israel. It's still true. It's still a lightning rod controversy. But I remember we had witnessed to this young lady at the Ben Gurion Airport about 2.5, 3 years. Every time we'd roll in there, she'd be there at the counter. And of course, we had witnessed to her the first trip. We saw her the first time we saw her in the outreaches, and we gave her the scriptures and explained to her the Messianic gospel tract inside, listening to 17 major prophecies that were foretold of Messiah in the Tanakh, what we call the Old Testament, how that Yeshua exclusively and historically fulfilled them in his life in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. So about 2.5 years later, didn't see her. We saw her maybe half dozen times, I'm going to say 4, 5, 6 times. We didn't see her anymore. So I get a message on Facebook. And she tells me that she's come to faith in Yeshua.
Praise the Lord.
She said, we were influential. We had planted the seed. She went to the Philippines and got involved with some believed Bible believers over there. Remembered what we had told her. And it clicked. She got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she lives in the city of Lod, O-D, Peter healed a Tabitha. So, and so this is worth the pain. It's worth the grand expenses. See Jewish people come to know Yeshua and become completed Jews. And yet you've got evil Antichrist. And God left him saying that the Jew comes to Yeshua, Judaism is kingdom. Such propaganda is birthed in the bowels of hell, because the exact opposite is true. Jesus, if he had told me, by the way, he said he tried Jesus and he didn't work for him. Must have not been the biblical Jesus. Because when you encounter the biblical Jesus, your life is forever changed. Mm-hmm. You're saved with an everlasting salvation. But remember what Yeshua said, do not think I have come to destroy the Torah and the Nabiim, the law and the prophets. Biblical Jesus inside is the biblical fulfillment and completion of biblical Judaism. What they're believing over there is not biblical Judaism. It's rabbinic Judaism, which is contrary to biblical Judaism. And I've only written two books on our outreaches, covering the first 11 years. I thought about maybe writing a third volume, but I don't know yet. Because it's repetition. Once you read these two books, you get the idea of what we're doing. But still, we've had amazing encounters with the Jewish people. I remember, and it's in this book, I remember one encounter we had. I called it, and I wrote it up in an article in our newsletter. By the way, forgot to give a plug for our recent issue. Our winter spring edition of Search the Scriptures is out. It's available online. And more about when I end this service, I'll tell you how you can get the newsletter and how you can still support us. You still can support this outreach if you like. But anyway, as I was saying, there was one encounter I had early on, and I had already given. At that point, I was only carrying Hebrew testaments. And so a lady across the street saw me give one and witnessed to her. It was a gentleman sitting in a bus, bitch, waiting for the bus. She comes over to me and challenges me, what did you give me? And I thought, uh-oh, here we go. She says, I told her, and she said, well, I want one. You, yeah. Okay, so I said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry, I gave out all my Bibles. I knew it was empty, right? Right? Mm-hmm. So, I thought was in vain desperation. I looked in my bag, sure enough, guess what? There was a New Testament.
Wow.
And where previously there was none. And I was just, she's asking, what's wrong with me? I'm like, I said, ma'am, I thought I gave them all out, but there's one in there. I think God made it appear just for you. She didn't like that. And I gave them. And I call that the miracle of replenishment. And they think that Israel is the land of miracles. God is still performing miracles for his people, Israel. They're performing miracles for his people in the church. And that was stupendous. And then there was another phenomenal incident that happened at the Western Wall. There was a synagogue in the Western Wall. You've been there, right? There's a synagogue. And I was praying at the wall, and an Orthodox, young Jewish Orthodox man came and says, hey, we're trying to form a minyan. Can you come in and help us form it? You know what a minyan is? It's Jewish law requires at least 10 Jewish males. I think bar mitzvah age and above to. For a prayer group, there has to be 10. So I went in there, and after we prayed, the head guy said, so what's your story? Why are you here? And so I humbly shared with him, I'm here to bring back what you gave the Lord. The news. Yeshua HaMashiach. He said, well, what do you do for me? And I said, I'm a chaplain in Medical City. He goes, do you know Rabbi Aryeh Roden? I said, no, he's a good friend of mine. So that common link opened the door. And I was able to give him a message in a gospel tract called the Chaim. And I spoke extensively to these men about how Yeshayahu 53, Isaiah 53, points to Yeshua and the sufferings of death, atone for the sins of the world, and bring us to salvation, ratified by every Hashem and coming. Instead of being thrown out on my ear, they listened with rapt attention and said, "We found this very, very interesting." So, these are just many of the stories that are in this book, and I guess the follow-up book, Reaching the Jews for Jesus. These are available at our ministry website. This covers the first 6 years, and this covers 5 years following this, so about 11 years. And these are selected stories. This is not an exhaustive treatment. I had to call and select stories of witnessing encounters with the chosen people. And that's by no means means that the other stories I left out weren't as important. So, folks, we're going to wrap it up. We await our PCR test. Pray it comes back negative. I'm on the edge of my seat, quite frankly. And I have to get back there and show with hate for the stupid PCR test. Spoil it. So pray that we will pass it. We both have to pass it. I want to go with August. I don't have to go by myself. I've done that before. I did a whole 3 week outreach around it's a good find anybody to go to. But I'm not gonna let that stop. Ideally you should send them along too, because I get there. But even Paul spent time alone in Athens, did he not? Ministry. So folks, if you still out there want to get in on supporting us, you can do that through our website. I put the link there below the title of tonight's message. So you can go to our secure link and donate. Each donation is tax deductible because we are a nonprofit 501(c) ministry. So please help us if you can. We still need help. Good support has come in so far, but if you would like to share in the blessings of Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, what better way to equip and enable us to take this boldly, yet humbly, take this gospel back to the Jewish people in obedience to the divine order of evangelism given under the Great Commission, and that is that the gospel is to go to the Jew first. If you would like to get a free quarterly newsletter, you can also do that. Go on our website and search the scriptures online.org, all one word, and click on newsletter. We have all of our newsletters archived. This is also the 21st year of our newsletter. We have every issue of Search the Scriptures in there from 2001 till now. It's all by the grace of God. And so, folks, if you would like to visit us here at Shalom, you can do that. We meet every Friday evening at 6 p.m. on Shabbat, Friday. We meet at Northwest Bible Church in the Christian Life Center building, room 301. The church is located at 8505 Douglas Avenue, Dallas, Texas. The zip is 75231. If you want to contact us, you can do so by calling 214-356-2583. That's my phone. We're not like these churches, pastors in these mega churches where you have to go through an army and you still can get there. We are accessible, but I'm going to say this, August and I, and August goes with me, we are accessible, but we do not suffer fools gladly. We get a lot of wackos when I go to yours. And it reminds me of a story I think I've told it before. When Zola first got saved, he was just befuddled by all nutty people in the church. And so he goes to Tom McCall, Dr. Tom McCall, who discipled him. And they ask, "Why are there so many weirdos in the church? I mean, come on, you gotta admit." And Tom looks at him and says, "Because they're welcome." In other words, there's no filter. Anybody can join the church. There's no filter. There's no secret. And the image. So anyway, folks, again, I will be gone until March 25th. And in my place, we'll have Greg Hartwig and Ed Ammons teaching. I will be giving daily reports to certain individuals about how our day went, and hopefully photographs of us with the individual. So again, we ask for your prayers, pray that this process, starting with the getting a negative result on the PCR all the way to a PCR and all that will go through smoothly. There'll be no difficulties. Hopefully, I won't be here next Friday. I'll be in Wisconsin because everything went smoothly. But remember, we will come back to you and give you a full report of what happened on this golden anniversary of these gospel artists, 50th gospel artists. Again, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, please, I entreat you, unsaved sinner, backslidden, if you're a phony Christian, return to Jesus and realize that you cannot save yourself. Your good works are as filthy rags before God's holy Son. The only work God respects to get you into heaven and provide forgiveness of all your sins is the cross of Calvary. Not the wooden cross, but what Jesus did on Calvary. And that he died and paid the penalty for your sins, for the wrath of God for your sins. And in exchange, he gives you his imputed perfect righteousness. And when you're clothed with that righteousness, and the Lord looks upon you and sees you righteous, just as his son Jesus is righteous. That you have Jesus' righteousness imputed to you the moment you believe. So trust in him for salvation. Believe upon him, and your sins will be forgiven. God will send his spirit in you and make you a new person after the moral image of Jesus Christ. And rejoice in those blessings of salvation. And further, be joyful that heaven will be your home the moment you draw your last breath. Because Jesus bridges the gap between heaven and hell, and you walk across the basis of Christ's work on the cross. Well, Lord willing, we'll see you in early April to give you a full report on the triumphant success, and I'm speaking by faith now, on the triumphant success of the 50th gospel outreach to the chosen people of Israel. Until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach, all that thing. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.